Anytime you want to start, you can start. Anything you can do, I can do better.
Oh, now anything you've got self-esteem. You can do, I can... Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
What happened? Did you forget your name?
I forgot who I was.
That's great. Okay,
this is a brief.
Yeah, I know recently you've had to put together some resumes and you know, do job interviews, and that's always good when you first go in. It's like, so you are Yeah, if that's the first question, you can't fill out your name. That is a problem.
Know. Yeah, it's been
Here's the thing. Your initials spell dad.
Yes.
And you're a dad. So
yes.
that's a good mnemonic device.
Mm-hmm. So when I should just say I'm dad?
Yeah, I'm your dad.
I'm your
dad. That's what you should say. When you go into any job interview, tell us a little bit about yourself. Well, first of all, I'm your father.
I'm your dad.
That's right.
I'm your dad. And that will explain all the jokes I tell you in this interview. I did a phone interview with someone for a trucking company.
Now, did you have to use CB slang?
Exactly what I had to do, actually. Whenever I finished, I had to say 10-4, good buddy.
Hey, good buddy. Here, there's some Smokies.
That's
Smokies on the highway. And
Smokey the Bear, that's right. There's some.
Yep. Yeah. We can call them Smokies.
Yeah,
sure. You're a casual trucker now. They understand. You don't have to say the full Smokey the Bear.
Mr. Smokey the Bear, yeah. Esquire.
There's a Smokey. Smokey who? Smokey Stover? The old cartoon character? No. Smokey the Bear. Oh, you mean the police. Smokey Stover is a fireman.
See, I just get confused, though, because I think that it's actually Smokey the Bear, you know, standing beside the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's very confusing. But, no, I was doing this interview.
Can I just say something quickly about Smokey the Bear?
Please.
You know, when Smokey...
It's your show.
When Smokey looks at you and goes, like, only you can prevent forest fires, you kind of want to go, like, how about you do something, you fucking bear? How about that? How about you help me with that,
yeah.
Bear? You got a shovel. You apparently are a good, strong, talking, walking bear with a pair of jeans on and a hard hat, I think. Some sort of hat. You know things about fire safety.
He does.
Why are you putting it all on me, buddy? How about that? How about we work together as a team, me and the bear? Anyway, continue.
I believe the original Smokey the Bear was drawn by Richard Scarry.
Well, that's a bold statement.
In Little Golden Book, there's a Smokey the Bear story, and I think that's kind of where he started was with this book.
Wasn't a Winnie the Pooh situation where someone actually saw a real bear, named it, and they decided to then connect it somehow with things. Smokey was never an actual bear.
No, I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I think
who just like wearing
this
jeans?
Book was created. This story was or book was created in order to make people aware of forest fires. So to know that you have to take care of campfires and to not throw out cigarettes.
Do you know how being a bear is a slang term for a type of gay individual? I always thought that Smokey the Bear must have been the inspiration.
Is this
a
gay person who likes fish?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I always thought Smokey the Bear was probably the inspiration for that because he does wear those kind of jeans. And you know, there's a nightclub in town called the Pump Jack.
Yes.
And there was shirtless kind of jean night, I believe, there.
Okay.
And I went like, oh, they're dressed like Smokey the Bear. And there must be some connection
to this.
So they
have suspenders as well?
I don't know if they had but I would not be
that
surprised
would make
if
it,
there was suspenders.
That would make it best. Make it best.
Well, at least your pants stay up.
Yeah.
You know, there you are.
For a change.
Yeah. I always thought, like, you know, Smokey, maybe kind of in that way. Good for Smokey.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But again, the only thing I don't like about that, he's putting too much responsibility on me with his fire stuff. Whereas I think the professionals should get involved as well.
Do you remember... I don't know if it's still there, but there used to be when you drove up into the interior, there was that sign with a cigarette.
Oh, no, I'm thinking a completely different thing.
Okay, there was a sign with a cigarette, and this says, you know, like over 1 million hectares of forest were destroyed by this cigarette. You know,
right.
It's just one, I mean, one cigarette. Not obviously, someone wasn't smoking. Paul Bunyan wasn't walking by smoking a giant cigarette, you know. It's just, I guess, emblematic of
it'd be funny if you saw like a guy dressed as a cigarette hitchhiking just a few miles down the road holding like a gas can in his hand. And
yeah.
Like, oh, there's that guy who did it. There was a thing like when you drove, and I forget where it was, but somewhere in northern BC where they had an ad, and I have again don't know what it was for, but it was like a bear that they had looking over a hill.
Yeah.
So they had a giant bear head, and then his paws were there looking over the hill at you,
okay.
And it's terrifying if you don't expect it.
That is
it's
pretty,
adorable
that
if you do expect
yeah.
it. It's terrifying if you don't expect it.
It sounds and, both creepy and great.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. So anyway, you were on a phone interview.
Well, just one more thing about, because since we're talking about forest fires, I just want to tell this little story.
All right, about the time that you...
started one.
Okay.
At least I thought I did. No, this
Dave,
is a different
only
story.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
I know.
Smokey was right.
We went up to stay in Kelowna with my brother and sister-in-law, and at that time he was working for an aviation corp company.
Okay.
And they were,
I call it a fly place.
Fly place.
Yeah.
And they were responsible for the water bombers for doing the forest fires. So he knew a lot of the people and stuff. So when we got there, we arrived just on basically a day that a forest fire started across the lake from us.
Mm.
We could see like the ember starting and then it's spreading along the hill and stuff like that. And this was turned into a huge fire. Like we left and came home, it was still burning. It burned down like a bunch of railroad trestles.
Oh wow.
It burned down like historic trestles for what was the Kettle Valley Railway. And destroyed. But we saw it start basically. And the water bombers were coming and they were putting the water on it. And then as night came, they were still flying and put on. But because we knew, like this friend came and dropped by, and because he was one of the maintenance guys and he was working on the planes there. So he dropped by to say hello. And we were asking how it was going. He said, oh, it's just for show now. We're like, what? How do you mean? He goes, oh, there's no way to stop it.
Oh.
They're just throwing water on it just so people don't get mad that we're not doing anything about it, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Oh, I thought what you were saying was they had already put it out, and that was just for show. we lifted all this water, so we're going to do like kind of
we
a
might
fireworks,
as well keep going now.
A beautiful water show
That's
for
right.
the people, because, you know, we're up here. What are we going to do? Put the water back in the lake?
What? Because the nature of the terrain, all the fire was burning underground. And so, you know, they could just dump all the water they wanted on it. And you could put it out here. And you could see it. Because at night, when night fell, you could see the glow of the fire in the hills.
Yeah.
And you could see, like, it would just be here. And then it would mysteriously start over there. And it wasn't like, it didn't go move like a chain of fire.
Yeah.
You know, or a line of fire and then start over there. It would just be there, burning there. And then suddenly over there. And then over there. It was like a twinkling night sky. Of destruction.
That is, you know what? Sometimes you feel bad for Prometheus getting his liver torn out by those eagles, and sometimes you think, yeah, that's fair enough. when you have like an apartment fire or something, you're just like, who's responsible for that? That jerk.
Prometheus.
Yeah, old Prometheus bringing us the fire and whatnot.
Yes, terrible.
Were people
us
just
cook
cold
food.
Before then?
Very cold, and also not eating very nice food. I guess it would all been
just
tearing at raw meat.
Well, I guess you could wait for a lightning strike, perhaps, and then take some of that fire. Would that be allowed? That'd be fine, right? The gods wouldn't be mad at you for that?
In your myth, in the mythology you're speaking of?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I think they wouldn't be okay with that. Because that fire that started with the lightning would be Zeus himself coming down to have some sex with someone in the form of fire.
Well, that person's unlucky.
And then next thing
horrible burns if that's the case.
Lita was lucky having sex with a swan. She got raped by a swan.
Understood.
That's luckier than the person who got burned by some fire and was pregnant.
Right.
Like which one are you lucky?
Oh, this is, I'm not gonna do it. Anyway,
so I got this phone call from this trucking company,
and you brought this up, this whole swan thing. And just
what is that about? Is that okay? Getting raped by a swan, but not fire? I don't understand.
Do you think like she was just like telling the story and making it fancier, and she just got duck fucked? You know, but you can't say that because no one's gonna respect that story. But a beautiful swan.
You can't. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, but please continue. You were
because there's no easy rhyme with swan in a sexual activity.
What? Of course, there's millions.
All right, let's hear.
Get it on with a swan.
No, that's not what I mean. Like duck fuck is one thing, but there's no swan job, right? Like what?
Okay, speaking of swan jobs, so you were on the phone with this guy looking for some work.
This was more of a duck fuck where I fucked myself, but I was actually talking to a lady. So I was talking to this lady, and I know you assumed it was a guy because it was a trucking company, but it was a lady.
Oh, well, there you go.
And a professional
Wait a second. You're saying the doctor was a woman? Well, that shows me what I was thinking.
She was an official, like a real like human resources person. So I didn't know if she worked for the company.
You're gonna say a real human
woman.
Well,
I mean, like, not a real human woman.
Sometimes I end up and
I did not say that.
You got to like say, is this a robot? And then you've got to do that Blade Runner test.
That's right.
And like, okay,
that's
there's
right.
a sad puppy in a corner. How do you feel?
How do you feel about that puppy?
All right.
She asked me the classic question. This was just a phone interview, right?
Okay.
The screening.
Classic question.
It seemed to be going good.
Classic trucker
question. She seemed pretty warm to me. And then she asked me, why do I want to work for this company? And so I gave this answer. I'm not going to give the answer because it's terrible. And I said as soon as I gave that answer, I could feel the whole conversation changed and I wasn't going to get the job.
Uh-huh.
I could just tell from her tone of voice.
Okay. So I'm going to think of the things you said. All right.
I did not say duck fuck.
Okay. How about this? So yeah. you say that to me and I'll say a couple of Dave Dedrick responses. Okay.
So why do you want to work for this company?
Because my standards have never been lower.
Okay.
All right. Ask me again.
Pretty good. Well, you can keep going. I don't need to keep asking the question.
Well, you know how sometimes people try meth? Okay. You look like you're easy to embezzle from.
Okay, none of those are what I said.
I got nowhere else to go.
Basically, that's the one. Okay. Yeah, basically like that. So I mentioned that. I mentioned to Lisa. I said, yeah. She asked me this question, which I've never been asked before. Which I know is like the classic question that people ask you for a job, but because my job search history has been rather scant, I haven't looked for jobs very much. Mm-hmm. So I've actually never been asked that question. So I said to Lisa, and so she sent me this link she found, which was like the four things you shouldn't say when you're asked that.
And you saw your picture was there at the top of the article.
Well, I read it, and I did every one of those wrong things in my answer. Mm-hmm. Every one of them, all four of them,
okay,
I got wrong.
Okay, the first thing you did was like, you came and you went like, can I talk to you about Jesus? Thing one.
That's right. First one, I didn't mention the name of the company. Partly because sometimes Lisa's applied for jobs for me, and I don't know what the position is or who they are. So they phone, and I'm confused. So I have to try and like pretend I know who they are.
Sure.
So that's part of the problem. But so I didn't say the name of the company. I made it all about me. I can't remember the other two, but I fucked it up.
Okay. Don't mention they call you Sticky Fingers, Tedrick.
And I am not. That's right. And I am not a person that has an easy time understanding, like getting nuance in a phone conversation like that.
Yeah. But neither am I. Obviously, I'm terrified of phones. Yeah,
so but I could really tell that I blew it. I could really hear it in her voice. Okay. And I knew I wasn't going to get a call back.
All right.
For a real interview.
Well, you would have blown it at the actual job then, so you don't want to be there. Probably. If you were going to blow it on that, you're going to blow it there. And it'll be more awkward when you're actually in the room with them, right?
I find that less awkward.
Really?
I prefer to be face-to-face with
the
person.
You like to be humiliated in public?
No, it's not
surrounded
that I like to be
by people.
No, that's
not
what
one
it is.
Place where you can like hang the phone up and then go into the basement and have a good cry.
Have a good cry. No, it's not that. It's that I think if I'm face-to-face, I can recover better.
Oh, yeah.
Like I can charm someone now, more in person than I can
now,
in phone.
Now, if I was to say to you now, same question, which is, you know, why do you want to work for this company? And what's the right answer for those of you who are out there listening who are going like, I got a job interview soon. What do you say? I want to work for this company.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. Well, your first thing is say the name of the company and that you've heard of them and that, you know, you know that they're a good company. And blah blah blah, right? Like, so you want to make it so I want to work for your company because
company,
I know it's a good place to work for.
Yeah, that's right. Harrison Automotive has a good reputation.
That's right.
Has a
good
reputation. I want to be part of that, and I'd like to grow with the company.
And here's what I can bring mm-hmm. to the job, and this is what I would like, you know, things that I would like to do, you know, blah blah blah, right? For the company,
right.
Not what the company can do for you. And I can't remember. Sorry, I can't remember the two at all.
I'm
still
going to
make the same mistake.
I think it's always a good idea if it looks like they're on. Okay, here's the thing. The first thing you got to do is you've got to let them talk a little bit because they're going to want to tell you a little something about the job.
I asked them.
Right.
I actually asked them to describe the job.
No, that's fine.
Because I didn't know what job it was.
No, understood. But then when you hear all those things, those are the things you're now going to repeat back to them. So if they say, well, you know, we're a company, we're growing, you know, at a rate of blah, 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 we're doing this, that, and the other. Whatever they say, like the first or second thing, that's the thing they're most proud of. Just like, we're expanding, we're growing. Or, you know, if they say like, we're not, like I was applying for a toy store once. And they went, we're not a general store like a Toys R Us. We specify, you know, in these kind of things and this kind of thing. So it's like, either if he says growth, then the thing you got to say later is I want to grow with the company. Mm. If they say I enjoy a job where you can really concentrate on the customer and specify, because they'll have forgotten they said the word specify, and they'll go, this guy's talking my language because I wasn't listening to my own spiel, but he's absolutely right. So you could actually just parrot it back, and then all of a sudden they're like, this guy's on the same page as me, and then you get hired for the gig. I used to be really good at getting hired for jobs, and then I was like totally shitty at them because I didn't want to be there. But I was good at the hiring because I could hear what they were saying and then just, you know, Polly says it back. Oh, this guy really seems to know what he's talking about. I wanted a cracker too. He seems to be on the same page as me with his pro cracker situation. Yeah, good for him. Let's hire this parrot.
It's interesting you say that because Millis has been watching a lot of The Office, the American The Office.
Okay.
And the actor Ed Helms plays a character who's kind of a suckhole. That's his way of advancing himself. And there's a scene where he has to go for anger management. And he says, I have to go for 10 months. But I think and he says those things, if I can do echo something or other and, you know, affirm them,
yeah,
and do all these kind of things that, you know. And I was like, wow, those are all skills that someone like that would know to bring to it, to their suckholing, you know, to their,
yeah,
you know, it's
well, it's also, it's like, if ever, you know, and I haven't been to one of these specifically, but if you have to go to like an AA meeting or something, and someone's like, it's one of those situations where sometimes you're obligated to go. All you really have to do is listen to the stories that are before you.
Yeah.
And like, let's mix those together and here we go. Okay. So you've just shown me what a person who is supposed to feel like feels like. I can now say those words in general, but I'm going to have a more awkward time because I'm new.
Yeah.
So let's pretend that I'm a bit new and I don't, but you say the same things like I do this and this and put those stories together and then you're going to be fine, which is a terrible thing.
Yeah. But, I was gonna say, you really haven't helped yourself though, have you?
Right. But this is for people who, like, there used to be a thing where you would be like a court mandated,
yes,
you know, thing where you have to go to blah, 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 blah. And I'm, of course, if you're doing it to Alcoholics Anonymous, then please get off the sauce.
Don't cheat.
But if, you know, you're ever in a different situation where, you know, a group of people is talking and you need to just blend in.
Yeah.
Grab the jigsaw puzzle pieces from each of those, put them together, and then up you go, and that's what you got to say. Maybe I'm a sociopath. I don't know. Maybe I'm just maybe I borrow other people's social cues and I seem like a human like you. Maybe that's how it works. Maybe I can't do a podcast by myself because I need another person to listen to and go, that's how people talk. All right. No, Dave, tell me more. And then I'll tell you a story that's similar a week later.
That's right. You know what happened to me, Dave? I lost my job.
Your wife has the flu 3 weeks later. My wife has the flu. It's terrible.
How did you know my wife had the flu?
Well, you told me.
Oh, that's right. Before the show, I mentioned
it. I know. See, this is it. Yeah. This is how it works. You say something. I could have then just started talking about the flu and how terrible it is. And you'd be like, this guy's really on the... good for him. We both have that anti-flu thing. I relate to this guy.
That's true.
Most people forget the things that they say. Most people forget.
Yes.
Yeah.
My wife has had the flu for 3 days, so... Which is not good. It's not good.
No, the flu sucks. Did she do the flu shot or no dice?
I think she did actually this year, but I heard that
some of it didn't go.
They didn't guess correctly on what strain might be flying around. So here, some people are getting it anyway.
Here's a little thing about the flu shot, which I also feel about. Okay, this is just a tiny little rant for me. You know, with all the people who are anti-vaccination and whatnot. I think, like, in general, maybe the reason for this is every news show that it talks about the flu shows a person in agony getting the flu shot. Like, they put the needle in, and they're just wincing in pain, or it's a little child who's adorable, and they're just, like, in so much pain, or a baby who's screaming like they're putting Frank's Red Hot sauce in him. Maybe that's putting people off getting the shots.
Yeah.
Stupid media. And then you go, oh, look at all these dumb people not getting their shots. Yeah, media. Why would that be? I wonder. Of course, in a story where you just showed all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you show, like, people going to the doctor and every time they get kicked in the butt, people aren't going to go to the doctor. You dumb news.
A little while ago, someone, I have some friends on Facebook who come from the
land down under,
more evangelical side of Christianity.
Understood.
And you'll find a lot of anti-vaccine people in that realm of
thought. Do they wear Pope hats? Full Pope hats?
Full Pope hats. Evangelicals?
I don't know.
They don't want anything to do with the Pope.
Fine.
A Scarlet Woman?
What type of hats do they wear?
I don't think they wear hats or have specific
hats. Oh, they don't believe in hats.
They don't believe in hats at all. That's how that's how evangelical they are.
Right. But they do not have blended fabrics.
They do. I think you're thinking Orthodox.
Okay.
You're confusing Orthodox with evangelical. But these people, this person wrote this Facebook post. They're not even a friend of mine. Somehow someone I knew liked it and I could see it in my news feed.
Frustrating.
And it was like...
Because you can't comment on it sometimes.
It was like, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it. It was like this, you know, 20 years ago, 15 kids had measles in 1997, you know, 1997 or whatever, 1995. In 25 kids had measles, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes to 2014, 167 kids had measles, blah, blah, blah. And you And they're like, what's the problem with this? Like, but no one died. That was their point. No one died. None of the kids died from the measles. Mm-hmm. But 167. And this, the number was increasing in her example. And I was like, isn't the negative of this the fact that the measles is going up? Right. Like,
and it's increasing exponentially. Yeah. You see, that's how this works,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And so, and then you also want to say to them, so how many people have to die for you to care about this? Right. You know? Because,
yeah,
you know, there's people with cancer that can't get the shots. There's, of course, infants. They can't get the shots. There's a lot of people that can't get the shots. Yeah. But they're protected, as, you know, people well know, by the herd.
Yeah.
You know, so the herd health. But if you lower the herd health, now these people are going to get hurt. So what? How many? Five? But we'll have to die? 10?
Yeah.
100?
What?
Then what do we...
Where do we stop there? I know it's strange. And you talk to them. And here's the weird thing about it, is you'll talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And their argument against it, of course, is the autism argument.
Which has been disproven.
Which has been
Which wasn't even disproven. Which was the original argument was just bullshit.
Yeah.
Like there was never one that was like, that's interesting. Let's look at it. Like
it was point. It was basically a what would you call it? It was like a thing.
An opinion piece?
No. It was written as a, like, this is a slam on a particular vaccines as a way to make another vaccine more popular.
All right.
So this doctor wrote this, I can't even think,
it's a something piece.
You know what I mean, right? But, and he just wrote this as this is a way to put down one and promote another.
Right.
And instead it took
Pepsi
off into
Pepsi talking about Coke.
Yeah, instead it took off into this
But Pepsi is saying Coke is full of epilepsy.
That's
and
right.
It's like, but it's not. I know, but what are you going to do? Well, and then a lot of people, now years later, are still going, the epilepsy.
Well, let's make it real. Let's talk about, like, well, you know what happens to your teeth with Coke? Have you ever heard of what happens if you put teeth into a glass of Coke? Nothing. Nothing happens to teeth that you put into a glass of Coke. They sit in the glass of Coke. It was on Mythbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it, and nothing happened. Like, you can pour Coke into a toilet. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't clean the toilet. It's not a magical solution. Like, there's all kinds of myths that people will talk to you about if you say you enjoy drinking pop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I like drinking pop. Don't you know what it does to your teeth? Like all sugar? Yes, I know what it does to my teeth. Yeah. That's why I brush them.
By the way, I don't want to make you talk about Coke. Dave is off sugar right now.
I am off sugar.
For 40 days.
And 40 nights.
There you are. It was all bollocks, as they say.
Yes.
And it's still being treated like... Let me just say, it's the fucking news. And the fact that you've got to have a pro and con for every story, mm-hmm. so you balance those out, and it looks like the con, you know, has equal value to the pro, and it's like, no, the pro has so much more evidence, and the con actually has none.
I don't
know.
Have we talked about this before?
What's that?
Well, because the BBC made a ruling that if it's an obviously dumb thing, that they don't have to have a counter argument to someone. You know, so if someone says, you know, talking about the universe,
flat Earth.
We're talking about the universe or whatever, talking about our place in the universe. Yeah, you don't have to have a flat earther there or some sort of, you know, person who denies the existence of a millions of year old universe. Let's bring in a creationist who believes the world is only 6,500 years old.
This really bugged me the other day. Like, I'm kind of liking the nightly show with, I believe his name is Larry Wilmore. It's a show that's on now after The Daily Show.
Okay.
And he's really good. He was one of the creators of, like, the PJs and the Bernie Mac show. And he's a stand-up comedian. And they had an episode on anti-vaxxers and this kind of stuff. And it was okay. But then they had a follow-up episode, which was all different topics that we talked about. And let's do that. And then they brought up the anti-vaccination thing again. And one of the people who was sitting there went, you know, I just feel, you know, the idea that you have to, like, take some of the disease to fight the disease, that seems counterintuitive to me. And everyone kind of nodded, yeah, I guess that feels wrong. And it's just like, oh, no, we need – and there was like four guests and the host. And I'm like, no, you need at least one person to go, no, this is how this stuff works. Yeah. You build up an immunity to it. You don't bubble boy yourself with this kind of stuff. This is so fucking basic. You can't put this on TV and have someone say something like that and then just like nothing. Ugh. So, you know, the internet kind of exploded afterwards a little bit, you know, going, you got to have, you know, at least someone who knows what they're talking about on a show, or don't bring up a damn subject because this is ridiculous.
Well, the worst thing about it is that, you know, they're not just not getting measles vaccines. Okay, measles. I mean, if you want your kids to get mumps or measles and have, you know, there's all kinds of complications that are with these diseases.
And again,
though,
it's not just your kids. It's other kids
as well.
Your kid will give to the kids.
Yeah. But hopefully, if you're one of these nutters, you're also doing homeschooling because you don't want your kids to get poisoned in the mind by by children who actually have thought.
Well, that's the problem with like the Jenny McCarthy thing is she's, I believe it's The View. It's either The View or The Talk. Whatever one of those shows, that show could not be more mainstream. So that's why that kind of thing is dangerous.
Yeah.
Because it's mainstreaming this, what used to be an extreme point of view.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think she's come against it now. She's come down on the other side of it, Jenny McCarthy.
Well, they showed that her son didn't have autism was one of the things, yeah.
Oh, so a misdiagnosis. This is or my self-diagnosed?
This is my what I read. Now I will do a double check on it, but that is what I read.
Okay.
But yeah, but definitely he didn't get it from freaking measles fuzz. But okay, go ahead.
We'll check it out on that search engine duck fuck goose. What I was going to talk about was actually these people that I know who are evangelicals, and I didn't start talking about this because there's no way I'm going to start a conversation about.
You don't have to. An evangelical will start it up. Themselves.
Start it up for you, yeah. So they started talking about this stuff and how terrible it is and stuff. And this girl that they knew who got a shot. Someone they knew.
A friend of a friend.
A little girl got a shot, and they could see right away she changed. As soon as she got that vaccination shot, she changed. She was never the same after that.
Changed religions.
She never the same after that. She always had autism, blah, 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 had problems. And that was exactly that moment. As soon as the shot happened, she changed.
What year of her life, I wonder, was the shot? Was it the kind of year that sometimes people change? Of course it's baloney. Some people do have bad reactions to shots. That's not untrue. Some things can happen. That's not untrue. But you've still got to because the.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say.
Please.
I was downplaying measles, but measles is part of it. I mean,
your job interviews, you've got to downplay the fact that you have measles. Haven't mentioned this. Dave has been going to these job interviews.
I have chronic measles.
Full of measles.
I've always had it. I don't know why people often think it's acne. Mm-hmm. It's actually measles, everyone. It's okay.
That's why he can't remember his own name at job interviews.
That's right.
What's your name? Don't say measles. Weasels? What?
This measly job? No, I was going to say, like, measles is one thing, but, like, it seems like no one remembers, like, the horrible, like, polio.
Yeah.
Like, if people live through polio, like, the time when polio was this mad, terrible, you know, disease sweeping across the country and kids,
you would start your class with a certain amount of kids. You would end your class with a different amount of kids.
Yeah.
Or at least one of the kids is in a wheelchair or has a cane or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would know someone who was affected by it. And if they said back then, it's sort of like, it's like any disease. If you had, when it said that it's worst, if you'd gone, there's a vaccine that'll cure this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Some people don't feel like they should take it. You want to be like, let's have a conversation with those people.
I don't think anyone would have thought that because you were living in the horror of it, you know.
But if you went back then and said like, hi, there's a vaccine that'll cure this.
Yeah, no one's going to say no.
In fact, there'll be one nut.
At the time.
There'll be one guy with a sandwich board on the street saying the world will end tomorrow. That guy.
But when you're living through it, I think there's way less people making up stories and having these kind of weird theories. Mm-hmm. Because
the government has injected people with things, said we're going to give you this, and they've given people other stuff. They've given black folks syphilis.
They have given
The Tuskegee experiment. Am I incorrect about that?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Why would they give them syphilis to test?
Yeah. To test what happens with syphilis. Yeah.
But you think they'd know? I mean, there was in existence.
No, they didn't. They didn't know. This is a huge thing. Huge. Yes.
I have to look and see, because I mean. It started in the 1700s, right? Like, in Europe, syphilis arrived and killed millions and millions of people.
I don't want to be getting this wrong. And again, we are right now having people screaming. Also, hey, Pia.
Yes.
The Tuskegee.
That
did happen, yeah.
That was for syphilis.
We will look up the specifics right now.
Because it was pretty, it's pretty curable once.
No, this is a horror show. This is one of the hugest examples of science-based racism in the States.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons that a lot of African American people will say, I don't trust the government when they say I'm going to get an injection. You go, why? Because of this. What's that? It was syphilis, yeah.
What year was it?
All right, 1 second. I'm going to translate what's being said.
Yeah.
Actually, Pia, why don't you come here and just...
Okay, I'm reading from the thing.
All right.
Okay, I'll project. The Tuskegee syphilis experiment was an infamous clinical study conducted between 1932 and 1972 by the U.S. Public Health Service to study the natural progression of untreated syphilis in rural African American men in Alabama. They were told that they were receiving free health care from the U.S. government.
That is the most horrible thing I've ever heard.
You've never heard that, eh?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty famous.
40 years.
Yeah.
You think they would effing know? They already knew what syphilis, like tertiary syphilis, did to people. Kraft Ebbing talks about it in Psychopathic.
No, this is a fucking horror show. Yeah.
Why would they?
Yeah, this is, you know, listen, that's whenever, like, you go like people are anti-vaccine or nuts. Yes, but the same government did do this once upon a time, and once upon a time was a generation ago. So
that's horrifying. See, yeah. When you say it, I kind of remember it, but I don't, I guess I didn't know the full, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean,
that feels you guys like, out there, you've heard of that, right? And if you haven't, well, now you have, look it up, it's pretty bad.
It feels like concentration camp level experiments.
Absolutely,
you know,
it is.
You already know the answer, but you're just tormenting people for the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that's awful.
So boo.
Yes.
But still.
I'm now firmly anti-vaccine.
Oh, are you? Okay. You know what I think? I don't think your wife should take any medicine for this flu.
I hope not.
Good for her.
Is there medicine you can take for the flu?
Love.
Well, she's got lots of love. From a distance. A great distance. I hold a pole in my hand and I just...
Now, is she also off the sugar for... Okay, so she can't have like a Sprite or something. She can't have soda to soothe her if she's having problems.
Hopefully she's past that point now. Because last night
cough
was...
Cough drops.
Last night, after sundown last night, she cannot have sugar, so...
Okay. Could she have a sugar-free cough drop? Could she have a... She could have
she doesn't have a cough. She has a flu.
Well, you have a cough sometimes with the flu.
That's called a fluff.
I don't think that's what it's... Okay, fair enough. I'm not going to argue with you, Dave.
Don't argue with me when I'm right.
Yeah. Well, let her have a lot of tea, you know? Yeah. She likes tea. We usually have honey, but you can't have honey.
Can't have honey.
But club soda, also quite good. For kind of clearing things up and making things good. So, listen, let me just throw this out there. Those of you who are listening, hopefully she will not have this still by Saturday when this drops. But if it does, let's use the power. We've talked now kind of a little bit about those evangelicals, blah, blah, blah. How about now we're going to flip it and just flip it. Let's use the healing power of positive thinking and or / prayer or whatever. We're throwing it out there and let's have...
Sure.
Everyone healthy. So your wife is healthy. Let's go my wife healthy. Let's go me healthy. Let's go you healthy. We're all going to be healthy. So
I am the picture of health.
Shut up. Don't brag.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jeez. Have you heard any Greek myths? You know, what happened? David was walking around. What did he say? I'm the picture of health. I couldn't be healthier. And then what happened? He got fucked by a swan. And now he's laying an egg a day. And it's really affecting his job opportunities.
That's right.
There you are.
Middle of the interview.
Absolutely.
They got kind of cold after that. I don't know why.
Did you see...
I said I'd put him in the lunchroom.
Did you? Who would want to eat a Dave egg? That'd be weird. You'd have to check and make sure there wasn't a little Dave in there, first?
Well, first, I don't even know what I was going to say. They have to be fertilized. But then I was like, why am I a male laying eggs? It doesn't make any sense. I could fertilize them myself.
Okay. Yeah, there you are.
So,
did you watch the...
I think we went too far.
Oh, yeah. This show could just be called Too Far. But so far, it's been educational, so I appreciate that much. Did you watch Saturday Night Live's 40th
thing? I did not. And I kind of... At first, I was like, tisk? That's exactly what I said. I was like, or poofed. Who wants to watch that?
Mm-hmm.
Saturday Night Live. I've seen Cheeseburger, 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 Pepsi.
I don't think they showed that.
That's good.
Weirdly enough, I don't think they showed that.
Because that was in every episode. I think I watched it. I'm old enough that I watched the original cast.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the original cast. I'm old enough that I watched the original cast minus Chevy Chase.
All right.
I saw the Bill Murray cast.
Have you ever seen the first episode? Because they aired that this week as well.
With Buck Henry.
Yeah.
I have seen it.
Well, wait. No.
Oh, no. George Carlin. Sorry. George Carlin.
That's right. George Carlin. And it was nice to see Valerie Bromfield does a monologue in it too. And it's like a very Second City type monologue. Mm. Like it's very much that.
Okay.
And it's so loosey-goosey. And they broke... And the George Carlin thing was neat too because he's not in any sketches. They just had George Carlin break up his monologues into multiple monologues, and he'd do them throughout the show, variety style. He wasn't like the host incorporated. It was like everything was separate. Everything was in its place. They did a video called a short film called Show Us Your Guns that apparently it was like just all people driving around and people showing them their guns. It's funny. And then I looked that up, and apparently it's a parody of an old cigarette ad, which is Show Us Your Smokes or something.
Okay, okay.
And there was and then I looked up, oh, there was another parody of that, because the original Show Us Your Smokes had the William Tell Overture playing. Mm. And so Stan Freberg did a parody of that.
Okay.
And it ended with, it was for a different product, and I forgot what it was, like pizza rolls or something.
Yes.
And it ends with the guy from the tobacco company coming up and going, hey, I wanted to talk to you about you using this song. And then the Lone Ranger and Tonto show up. Yeah, we wanted to too. It was a pretty good gag.
That is good. If you ever, I do like Stan Freberg quite a bit, but if you look at his advertising, there's for like the dumbest companies. So like no major, maybe he did Reynolds Wrap, which is kind of big, mm-hmm. but mostly it's like for Chongqing Chinese food and like canned Chinese food and stuff like that. Like a lot of stuff like with difficult sells, I think was what his expertise was.
Right.
No one can make an ad for this stuff. No one can sell Chinese food in a can. Give it to Freberg. Freeberg can sell it.
I know. I like his ads. I like watching the Nichols and May ads, mm-hmm. those animated ones. And I like watching the really quick Muppet ones.
Yeah. You those know? Are good too.
Yeah.
Because they're so weird.
So weird. It's you like, don't think they're selling the product no, well at all. Yeah, it's just, it's funny. Just it's, funny for funny's sake.
Yeah. That guy really wants chips. In fact, he'll kill for those chips.
Yeah. They will murder each other for this cup of coffee.
He will fire a cannon at you yeah. to get some chips.
Do you like drinking this coffee? No. Well, I'm going to shoot you in the face. How's that sound? What? Did that just happen? Yeah. Drink this coffee or I'll shoot you to death in the face.
I think they did Chinese food too, didn't they? Because they had the dragon.
Yeah. They had the, I want to say, what was it called? Well, no, it was the something dragon. But yeah, it was like with crispy noodles.
Yeah,
you know, make it for your damn family. I don't fucking care. I'm the dragon. I don't know what he said. Didn't say that.
It's basically Jim Henson.
Yeah, we put it up on our site before because we put up a lot of dragon stuff in the past. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a really good dragon.
No, it is
but
good.
Canned Chinese food. That's not really a thing anymore, is it?
I don't think so. I was going to say, you can get water chestnuts, but I guess that's just something you add to.
That's about it.
Yeah.
But why I want to bring up the Saturday Night Live thing was there was a big thing about Eddie Murphy being on the actual specials. Like, Eddie Murphy's going to return to Saturday Night Live for the first time since he was on the air.
Yeah.
And he wasn't on during the Lorne Michaels time.
No.
His first year, he wasn't even a featured player. He was like, they had the little side players.
Yeah.
It was him and Joe Piscopo and someone else. But then he kind of
did
well and then, of course, saved the show. And he's really the reason the show still exists. So they were going to have him on. And I'll tell a second thing about this because Norm MacDonald posted a...
That's really interesting to read.
The Norm MacDonald one is.
His Twitter feed, yeah.
But when you see, you know, when you watch the actual show, first of all, Eddie Murphy wasn't going to come on. Didn't come on the 25th because David Spade made a mean joke about him. And so he went, to hell with this.
Yeah.
And then the 30th, and then what, was it 35th? Or it was one of those. He wasn't going to come on. Anyway, so it was like, here comes Eddie Murphy. And Chris Rock does a whole thing about Eddie Murphy. And it's a huge setup for Eddie Murphy. And talking about, this guy can ad-lib like nobody's business. Here he comes. It's going to love some Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy comes out, just starts clapping for people. And like, this is great. Well, it's nice being here. It's like a high school, you know, it's like being back in high school. Okay, and that's it. And the camera stays on him. Like, no, we're good. We're moving on. And I was like, oh, because apparently something was supposed to run, but it didn't. And it was a screw up. So they just went to commercial and it was awkward.
Oh.
And then everyone goes, what just happened? Why did he do no comedy at all? And I thought that too. And then afterwards I was thinking, his experience with Saturday Night Live is probably so different than the modern experience, because the modern experience, you see everybody in these sketches, and it's like a high school reunion where you had friends, and now you're doing stuff with your friends again, and you get that energy, and everyone's like having a good time because they're with their friends.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, back in Eddie Murphy's time, he probably wasn't friends with anybody. He was friends with Piscopo, I think. Like, he did a lot of stuff with Piscopo. But as Chris Rock said in his intro, Eddie once hosted the show while he was in the show because he was so famous he could host the show.
Yeah.
And Chris Rock went, oh, I bet the cast loved that. And it's like, yeah, I bet they fucking hated that.
Yeah.
So I bet, like, he was, like, the superstar
for sure.
That, you know, was so above everybody, he couldn't have a relationship with anybody. So why would you go back? There's no connection. You don't go jam with your friends. So to him, when he's saying like it's like high school, it's like high school, but where you were like the star, but didn't have any friends. So why would you want to go back? Now you're not even a good basketball player anymore. Why would you go back? It would just be it's just awkward. Yeah. You have to go back because it's weird that you don't. But that's it. And yeah. But yeah, the Norm Macdonald
thing. Norm Macdonald thing was interesting because in that instance, the plan was for him to do Cosby in Celebrity Jeopardy and have some sort of a video question where he plays Cosby.
Potent Potables, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Potent Potables, yeah, that's a good joke, actually. And so he's mixing a drink and...
it's from months ago, that they shot it months ago. Yeah.
And so it was kind of a good idea, but I guess, obviously, Eddie Murphy thought it was mean, so...
Well, what he thought was it was kicking a guy when he's down.
Yeah.
And that's fair.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here's the other part about that is, like, let's say... And Norm Macdonald is correct that if Eddie Murphy had been Bill Cosby in that, the place would have gone crazy.
Yeah.
And...
He didn't mind kicking buckwheat when he was down. When all people remember about buckwheat was his line of pancakes. No one cared. He didn't care then. He just all over the place.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Jerk.
Yeah, what a jerk.
Eddie Murphy.
But like, I've now lost my train of thought completely.
I'm sorry.
But like, oh, here's the thing.
I'm sorry.
If you know, what people talk about now as like the best moment of the show was Bill Murray singing the love theme from Jaws. Because he just went for it, had fun, and it was joyful, and it was great. If Eddie Murphy had done that, all people would be talking about is Eddie Murphy. It would be like, Eddie Murphy's great. Well, should Eddie Murphy host Saturday Night Live? Blah, blah, blah. And here's what would have happened, though. There would have then been the backlash to it, which was, did he go too far?
Yes.
Was it too mean?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Eddie Murphy, why didn't Eddie Murphy show up on the show for so long? Because someone was mean to him.
Yeah.
Someone did a mean, cheap shot at Eddie Murphy, and he went, well, to hell with you. I'm not showing up. And that's, you know, and it was kicking Eddie Murphy when he was down.
Yeah.
When he was not having a good career. And so it's like, I'm not going to kick a guy when he's down. You know, if I just, if I'm thinking, it would be the hypocrisy to do that. To like, you know, I'm not going to show
you
up.
You are so upset about this. You are incoherent.
A little bit. But, you know, if your whole thing is like, you don't kick a guy when he's down, and then you kick a guy who's down.
Yeah, that's, I know. I can see that.
Also, it would also bring up other things like, oh, you know, Bill Cosby's going through this scandal. Did Eddie Murphy ever go through a scandal?
Yes.
And then you're going to have to, like, crack open the big book of Eddie Murphy scandals, and we're going to put all those on the table, and then everyone's going to talk this to death, and is that worth it for the one good laugh? He says no, and there you go.
No, I don't, and I'm not criticizing him for that decision.
It sounds like you are.
I think he was a chicken, and I think a coward as a comedian. I don't think that he should even be allowed on this television anymore. Or a film.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about Norbert.
Okay.
Is that a movie he did?
I think it was, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I have actually not seen any of those films. It's kind of, I'm kicking a man when he's down.
Well, here's, you know, okay. Whenever, say you have like a Will Ferrell, right? And Will Ferrell.
You have a Will Ferrell.
All right. And Will Ferrell does Anchorman. Now, Will Ferrell in Anchorman then surrounds himself with all these people he knows that are hilarious and gives them all parts that are funny.
Yeah.
And everyone. Yeah. Well, funny-ish.
Pretty-ish.
You know,
pretty
listen, Will Ferrell in Anchorman gives everyone that that newsman fight scene, which is the funniest
that
thing
is,
in both.
That is a great
in
scene.
Both.
I haven't seen the second one.
Okay, so there you are.
Do they have a newsman fight scene in the second one?
Yes, they do.
Then I'll have to watch it now.
That goes crazy bananas.
Oh,
so,
I have to watch
okay. But Eddie
Tim
Murphy...
Tim Robbins in that first one. Oh,
when it's come to it's come time to cast another person, Eddie Murphy casts Eddie Murphy. And then he casts Eddie Murphy again, and he casts Eddie Murphy. He's not a team player. He wasn't a team player on Saturday Night Live. He was his own. And now he can like actually perform with himself and just himself till you get a film like The Clumps where it's just him, with the exception of the little kid where he has to make it a little kid because the CGI isn't up to snuff yet.
Yeah. Is that a good film, The Clumps?
I don't know. Of course it's not. You know it's not.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
It's clearly not. You know it's not.
I don't know.
He used to, back in the Coming to America days, he would like cast Arsenio Hall, and then Arsenio would do like three or four characters too. But that ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's just him and just him and him. And when you're talking Norbit, he is the guy and he's the love interest.
Mm.
You know, he's both, he's married to himself.
That's weird. That's very weird. And
it just makes you feel like he's a bit lonely is all.
I think, well... I don't know. I don't know much about him, actually. I've never been a huge Woody Allen. I've never been a huge Eddie Murphy fan. Like, I've never seen, like, Raw or any of those films.
Well, I mean, of their time, they were amazing. You know, not Raw. Delirious. Way too mean.
Is that right?
And Delirious is even, like, there's some... Like, you watch the first 10 minutes of Delirious and go, well, this was of an era. Let me tell you what year this happened.
Is it the 80s?
Yeah.
So is it very homophobic with a lot of F words being thrown around?
Oh, like crazy. Like, take a drink every time you hear one. You are drunk by the first 7 minutes.
Paralytic.
Yeah. And it's, you know what, though? If you looked at stand-up at the time, this is what people were basically doing in stand-up clubs. Like, you know, what if Ralph Kramden was gay? It would go something like this. And that's what he does. He does a bit on that. You know, and it's like, you know, everyone did gay Star Trek. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, you know, they ran into all these troubles. But hey, everybody, what if Spock was gay? It would go like this. And then they do it. And then they throw impressions in. And, you know, Christopher Lloyd would be Scotty or some shit. I don't know. All the things.
See, what you're describing is the reason why I did not find him funny.
But no one knew better back then because there was no options.
Well, I guess.
You were coming out of Happy Days, you know, and a guy who was this edgy and raw, you know, and real, you know,
Made you delirious.
He made you delirious.
You didn't know what you were listening to.
But on Saturday Night Live, he was definitely the underdog who then came and took over and just hit you at such a deep level that the rest of the surface shit just went, what's this about? And it was amazing. You know, there was no one like him. I think he was like probably the best performer ever on the show, ever. Mm-hmm. But not a good team performer.
Yeah.
So he was a terrible Saturday Night Live performer. But he was a great, like, it became the Eddie Murphy show for that amount of years.
Yeah.
You know, and that was fine, but it definitely wasn't, you know, Saturday Night Live. It wasn't teamwork. And then what are you gonna do when it's time to come home? Yeah, you gotta be all alone. It's too bad. Sad.
Yeah, I'm reading people's reactions to it after. I was a little mad at myself for not at least PVRing it and fast forwarding through.
Well, we have it PVR'd if you want to see it sometime.
95% of the show. Because I have to admit, I'm not the biggest Saturday Night Live fan.
Paul McCartney's voice kind of blew out as well.
Well, it always blows out. He's in his 70s.
Well, I was listening to an interview with him recently, and he was talking about how Maybe I'm Amazed is like the one that's the hardest one to do, and that's the one he did.
Oh.
And it was like, oh, whoa, you're reaching for the star. Oh, and I think he'd done like a free concert the night before or something that was long. And I was like, okay, but who cares? It's nice.
Oh, it's nice that he was there. I guess.
He had a funny gag with Paul Simon. That was fine. Good for him.
Good.
Yeah.
Paul Simon.
See, yeah.
Paul Simon was on the show. Was Paul Simon a guest of the...
On Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Many times.
Not a guest singer, a guest artist, but a guest, like a guest actor.
Well, really? He's part of the Five-Timer Club of hosting,
really?
Yeah. He's hosted a lot, yeah. Good. He's been the musical guest, he's been the host, he's been the host and the musical guest, yeah. He's been a lot.
Good for him. He's good in Annie Hall.
Oh boy, I'm blank. Oh yes, he is good in Annie Hall.
Yeah, yeah. I was blanking too, I was going to say Manhattan, but he's not.
But I've heard, Dave, that you've never been a fan of Woody Allen.
I love Woody Allen. That's a total lie.
That's why you. I
know.
Seconds
I was going to say it. I don't know why I was going to say that. It's so weird.
And then now there's a thing about Victoria Jackson saying that she was put into the overflow room and not seated with all the other performers from past years. Like all the performers got seats in the theater itself.
Oh, okay.
And you know, but there was an overflow room for friends and others. You know, and she got the wristband that was overflow, and off she went. Because apparently, like, she stormed a stage recently and delivered some anti-Muslim sentiments.
Okay.
And so maybe keep Crazy Pants Magoo in that room over there. But, yeah. Sorry.
She was sitting beside Sinead O'Connor, them two together.
Well, they were saying, like, you know, that she was saying, like, maybe they don't like, you know, right-wing folks. And it's like, well, they did have Sarah Palin in there and Donald Trump was there. So, you know, but they won't storm a stage and... pull out the ukulele and say the president's a Muslim, so maybe that's why.
She has a ukulele song about the president being a Muslim?
She's got a video, a music video about there's a Muslim in the White House, yes. She does have that.
Interesting.
She used to do a series called Politichicks that was her and three other women who weren't very smart. And you know what? You think like, hey, Ian, that doesn't sound nice. Watch it. Tell me I'm wrong. Watch it. Watch it for as long as you want. And then tell me the thing that's smart that's said. Ever. Tell me. Tell me, and I'll send you a button. I'll send you a button in the mail.
It sounds like you're a fan of the show.
Yeah. No, it was something you could watch like a car accident, you know. I mean, but they're all like following her, and she's like, woo-hoo-hoo. And so they have to, you know, they know which side their bread's buttered, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They know how to do a job interview.
Just like me on this show.
Yeah, they interviewed with her and repeated back the things she said.
Well, they did the echo affirmation.
Yeah, they did echolocation. Dolphin style, except without the intelligence. Yeah.
Less intelligent than dolphins.
She's kind of a terrible human being.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I look at Dennis Miller and I go like, okay, well, I don't agree with what he's saying, but he's probably not a horrible human being. Mm-hmm. Then I see Victoria Jackson, see what she's saying, go, no, she seems kind of bananas and also mean. And then I see Randy Quaid and I go like, well, he seems like he just went bananas, but he doesn't seem mean.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say Randy Quaid would probably have been put in the overflow room as well.
Oh, yeah. Because he was on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. All I think
they did a joke about him on the show saying they weren't going to do this one segment of like a best of, and we're just going to like let him talk for 5 minutes about what was on his mind. It was that was a mean joke, but it was fair.
Fair enough. He's an ex-cast member. He can take it.
Sure can.
The thing I remember with Victoria Jackson is that she imitated a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I think about her.
She was circus folk.
If I think she did a handstand and imitated a Christmas tree.
She could do a handstand.
Which makes me think that she came from out of the L.A. scene. Out of the L.A. improv scene. I don't know why.
I think maybe. I think she probably came out. Well, she was definitely circus folk. I know that much.
Really?
Yeah. And she once came and saw a show, a theater sports show, and she was not very nice.
Oh, really?
She was really not very pleasant. Oh. We were all trying to like reach out and be kind of pleasant, and mm-hmm. she was not pleasant. Nope. So there you go. Well,
screw her then.
David Koechner, very, very pleasant man every time I've met him. Do you know who he is?
Yes, he was in...
He was a cast member of Saturday Night Live as well.
Was he a cast member?
Yes. See,
I have not caught up
on the first time I ever saw him, we actually talked about him being on the show. And both I was there with my friend Roger Fredericks, and we both went, oh my God, you were so wasted on this thing. But you were great in this character and this character. And he was very, very pleasant. Yes.
And he was in that recent Brett Butt film.
Yeah.
Right?
No Clue?
No Clue. Yeah, that's right. Which is a good film. Have you seen it?
It's fun, yeah.
That's a good, yeah,
I would like to see that actually as a TV series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you know what I would see? I would like to see that as a series of Columbo-style movies.
That would be good, too.
Yeah.
That'd be good, too. So you could fast forward through the parts you don't like.
Yeah, just fast forward to when Brent's on. I don't care about the rest. Because, by the way, we're referring to how you watch a Columbo episode.
Yeah.
Fast forward to when it's Columbo.
Otherwise.
Unless maybe William Shatner's in it as the villain, then maybe watch William Shatner. Or Roddy McDowall, maybe, because he hams it up and it's fun to watch Roddy McDowall as well. And I think they both were murderers many times on the show.
Yeah. Well, they're both a couple of hams, so I guess it's...
Yeah. I'm watching one right now with Walter... who's the guy from Space 1999?
I know who you mean.
And he also was Ed Wood.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking
about. I can't think of his name, though.
Oh, it's driving me crazy, isn't
it? He was on Mission Impossible as well. And
yep, Landau.
Martin Landau, there you go. See, and I say Mission Impossible made you remember.
And he's hamming it up, too. Like, he killed a guy. Like, he's a chef who's a twin.
Okay.
And he kills a guy in a bathtub with an electric mixer. And he goes, I bet you're going to get a real charge out of this. And then throws it in.
Oh, see, I was picturing him stabbing him with the mixer while it was on. That was my image of
it
the murder.
It is tough to make that look like an accident.
You know, well, how about a mixer in a bathtub? Why would you have a mixer in a bathroom?
Oh, what he's doing is he drops the mixer into the tub,
yeah.
Then unplugs it, takes it out, and makes the guy look like he had a heart attack in the bathtub.
Oh, okay.
And he's trying not to get an autopsy, right?
I thought he just killed the guy with the mixer, and then he put a bowl of batter in his arms, so it looked like he was mixing something in the bathtub.
Yeah, and then
accidentally dropped the mixer in and died of...
Well,
he'd done that, Columbo would have never caught him.
Never. Well, you don't see all the cases Columbo completely messes up.
That's true.
Columbo messes up like, you know, 99 times out of 100. You're just seeing the one time he nails it.
just one more question.
Yeah, he's an idiot most of the times. I got what they did exactly wrong. Like, he dropped the mixer in, boom, heart attack.
Yeah.
The guy, like cartoon style death.
Sure.
Then he dresses him, takes him down to the treadmill and slumps him over the treadmill like he was jogging.
That's too complicated. You've put the noose around your own neck.
Hmm.
Right around your own neck, as far as I'm concerned. Just the whole part, that's the whole thing. Like, you can tell, can't you, when someone gets moved after post-mortem.
Well, here's the thing.
Because the blood isn't moving.
No, Columbo. Oh, there you go. Well, you see, they're not, they're trying to make it that they're not going to do the autopsy, right? It's just like, well, it's obviously had a heart attack. There's no reason to check that it's an autopsy.
But don't they do an autopsy in most cases of death? Like, where it's not obvious.
When an old man has a heart attack, do you have a...
Is he like a really old man?
Yeah, he's an old man.
Okay, that's gross that he's dressing an old man and carrying around the house. This is disgusting.
And how Columbo figures it out, at least in the ending. I have not seen the ending. But I have seen how he did it, so it's not a whodunit. It's a
yeah, I know. It's weird, isn't it?
It's a when will
it's
you reveal
it? Yeah, it's how did he get him.
So he dried him off with towels, but then put the damp towels into the laundry bin. Oh. And the fussy lady who runs the place changes them every hour. And so I never have damp towels after blah. So, well, that's the clue. And now Columbo's going to, you know, get you.
Yeah. So it's a matter of him asking enough questions to infuriate the fellow.
Just makes him so mad.
The one I like the best is it's one, I don't know who the actor was, but it's an immense style club. And he does this kind of really elaborate Rube Goldberg style, you know, phonograph turns on, pulls cord, does this, does that. It's like an elaborate stunt death sort of thing, as I remember it. It's been a while since I watched it, to be honest. That's one I enjoy, just because of the murder, how the murder took place. The rest of the show, I agree with you. It's a little, kind of goes on.
Yeah.
Oh, you do go on, sir.
Yeah, you need to, as you said, it was written by hacks, but with a really good actor who's super charming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fine. Everything's good.
But I mean, when I say written by hacks, I not even want to condemn it for that. Because
there's nothing wrong with the hack.
Because I think
like sometimes you want, in your murder mystery, you want a hack. You're reading it for comfort. You're not reading it for, you know what? I want something that breaks the genre. No. When you watch a Columbo, you want certain things to happen. You don't want then to learn about Columbo that he was molested as a child.
That's right.
And Columbo has to deal with his issues and go to therapy.
Yeah. I want to broaden what you're saying. I think in most of your popular entertainment, you want hacks writing it.
Yeah.
You don't want like a lot of deep thought interfering with your enjoyment. I mean,
you can put good ideas in there.
You can do lots of good ideas.
But let's not break formula.
But we don't need to. Yeah. I just want to make it. This guy's making a living. But they're good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're hacks. They're not hacks because they're bad. They're hacks because they're really efficient writers.
They wouldn't be getting hired.
They wouldn't be getting hired, exactly. But they know how to put together. They know how to craft popular entertainment. And we don't need to have, you know, John Knowles or whatever his name is, who wrote The French Lieutenant's Woman, coming in and making it into an art piece. That's not what we want. And that's a problem with
Dave and I like mediocrity, everybody.
We do. We're all for it. Well, when you're watching something that's mediocre, you know, if you're watching something because it's sentimentally interesting to you, like Emergency, let's say, I'm not going to defend Emergency as like a great television show. It's sentimentally interesting. It fuels nostalgia. I watch it and I go, oh, I remember watching this as a kid, and it's kind of fun to watch these shows again. I know this actor is 6 years old and they're saying he's 35, which is ridiculous, right? But I know those sort of, I know, and you know, I know that it's so wholesome. You know, one, it isn't wholesome when they do something that's actually kind of like risky or interesting. Then it really stands out to you because most of the time it's kind of pablum that, you know, just kind of gently flows over you while you watch it.
And by the way, the hippies are always wrong.
Always wrong.
Yeah.
Always
it's like
wrong.
Whenever we watch the show, something we said almost once an episode to each other was, when will hippies learn?
Well, there was an anti-vaccine one with hippies.
Oh, is that
right? Where they didn't vaccinate their child and their child got sick and died.
Yeah, they would do that.
Yeah, they would.
Emergency would kill a kid. They would say,
not just a kid.
Would you leave? Did you leave that paint out? Yeah. Well, let's go check on your 5-year-old. Dead. Well, you shouldn't have left that paint out because the kid drank the paint, and that's the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
The end. And there's an anthrax episode apparently. That was what? Did hippies cause anthrax?
What?
What's it? The sheep herding and caught anthrax from the sheep.
The hippies took up sheep herding, caught anthrax from
the
sheep.
As you will. As you will. And but the one I remember, I'm sure I brought it up before. I'm going to bring it up again, folks. Sorry to be boring, but there was an episode with a woman who took drugs.
Dave, is this show a rerun?
It's a rerun. She took drugs as a way to get attention. Like she would take overdose. She would overdose. And so in this episode, and what was curious was because Millis had been talking to me about women having heart attacks different than men.
That's something a lot of people are bringing up.
Which they don't show in television because you can't show a woman being, you know, worked on because of, you know, the fact that you can't show nudity on most television, right?
Right.
But on this, what was interesting was this lady had a heart attack. And what they did was they staged it so that the nurses stood in front of her as her blouse was torn open and as they started working on her. So you couldn't see that part of her. So you could see her going through her, all the signs of a heart attack. And then you could see her being operated on and worked on in this really dramatic scene. And it was more dramatic because it was pulled away.
Yeah.
So you could see everyone working. And so all these actors, they're not obviously actors, but they're all doing their parts. You know, they're working those paddles and then the nurses are doing their things efficiently. Everyone's working in this kind of clockwork unison as they're dealing with this code emergency, right? And she dies, you know, because
we got to teach.
There's
got to
be a moral. There has to be a moral. Yeah. But it's done in a really effective way, and it was really good. So sometimes a show, even when it's kind of hacky, can still pull it out sometimes, and you're like, wow, that was good.
Well, I mean, The reason it's a cliche of the very special episode of, you know, hacky shows is you remember the very special episode and maybe you were watching that Happy Days or Different Strokes and don't go into the bicycle shop with Gordon Jump because he's going to molest you. So heads up. Heads up, kids.
I watched that show pretty faithfully and I don't remember seeing that
episode. Gordon Jump tried to molest Gary Coldman and his friend. Yeah. And then he went back to WKRP and no one cared. He went and they said they on WKRP, he was like, "Hey, big guy, what were you doing?" He was like, "Ah, I was going and was molesting some kids in the inner city." And they went, "Oh, well."
Didn't you just must have moved to a different town because Different Strokes did not take place in Cincinnati, right?
No.
Was it in New York?
I don't know. Dave, all I know is the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
It's true. It takes Different Strokes to do something.
Right. But if we say any more than that, Alan Thicke will charge us for the
That's
song.
That's good because I don't remember anymore. Yeah. I don't even remember what you said. I don't even remember the song.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both. There you got.
That's a different show, though.
Spinoff.
You're not impressing me it's by saying a different
it's
song.
It's part of the universe. It's part of the Different Strokes-iverse.
I am she and you are me and we are one and we are all together.
Really, what's that connect with? What show does that connect with?
I'm just
with?
Saying I can remember random lyrics as well
okay,
as
well, I know Yoko Ono was on Mad About You,
sure.
So I know the Beatles exist in the Mad About You universe.
Oh, okay.
I know that much,
okay?
Uh-huh. And it was a terrible episode.
Was that show really good? And that show was bad? I mean, that episode was bad?
I gotta tell you, a lot of people say the show was really good. Mm-hmm. And then we tried watching it.
Yeah.
It is not at all.
Well, I think it's
a couple things you go like, break up. You gotta break up. You're horrible together. Break up. You're terrible together.
Is that how the show ended?
I don't know. Probably not.
Is it a show that if you watched at the time, you would have thought it was the hottest thing since sliced bread?
Maybe.
Hot sliced bread.
Maybe a couple that's not supposed to be together would watch it and go like, oh, that's us. Yeah, maybe we should be together because the opening song sounds like we're happy. And then they're miserable through the whole damn thing.
Is that right?
You know, they're just rolling eyes at each other through the whole thing. Like, ugh, you're annoying. Ugh, this person. Ugh. And so on. That, let's just call the show Bluch.
That's the reason why the girls weren't allowed to watch Hannah Montana or other Disney sitcoms.
Any shows that rhyme.
Because, yeah, don't like that. But also because it just teaches you that sort of interaction. It's, the idea of how people behave with each other is to roll their eyes and make sarcastic comments and things like that. It's not what I want.
You know what wasn't bad, though, Dave? Hmm? To defend Disney here for a second?
Yep, sure, go ahead. Defend Disney.
Goof,
I dare you.
Goof Troop.
We've mentioned it before. That's a pretty good show. I mean, that was an animated show. It's different than the kind of hack.
But you don't see a lot of shows about single dads.
No.
You know, and they made Goofy a single dad, and it was like, yeah, this actually kind of works. Mm-hmm. Though, the creepy thing...
I didn't like the credits where they show the mom getting killed in that horrible accident.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Oh, gosh. Well, this is the thing. If you think about, you know, the fact that the mom's dead.
Yes.
It does make all of Goofy's crazy antics where he's almost getting killed horrifying to the child. Because he has seen his mother pass away somehow. Now, you might think probably a disease, because that's probably how it was. But it could have been a crazy accident.
Yeah.
One so horrible that you die in the Disney universe. So it's horrible, like really horrible.
It takes that much. Because he was an actor, right? That was Goofy's job when he...
Was the deal that he was a stuntman in...
It feels like because there's some cartoons...
I don't remember what he was.
There's cartoons that they did like in the 50s.
Oh, there's
like,
lots of... Goofy wore a lot of hats.
The driving cartoons and stuff like that where he's like a different person.
Oh, he's just
not Goofy.
He's just a person,
Just some guy. He has a name. And it was the same name in every cartoon he appears in. So it's like he's an actor.
He was like the Everyman, I think they called him.
I don't think they called him the Everyman.
Something like that,
Mr. Everyman. No, he had a name.
Oh.
He had a name.
Well, I know that was like in the driving one, he was Mr. Wheeler and Mr. Walker. They did that.
Yeah, he was Dorf. That was his name.
He was not Dorf. Okay.
Steven Dorf.
Keep talking amongst yourselves.
So it feels like he was an actor. And so on the show, on Goof Troop, he should have been like an actor who is a single dad, whose son was in a Goof Troop.
His son was in a Goof Troop. Do you realize there wasn't an actual Goof Troop, right? It was like they're called.
No, that's what he was
family.
A member of. It was like kind of like Cub Scouts, only they were goofs.
Okay.
And they had like a little vow that they would do. You know, like if you were in Cub Scouts, you had to do the dib 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 dob dob dob. That's all I remember. Sorry, there's more that we had to say.
Okay, people refer to it as Goofy's Everyman years.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they called
him. But what was his character's name in those things?
George Geef.
There you go. See? He was playing, Goofy was playing Mr. George Geef.
That's a pretty good name.
So as an He was should have been
I stand semi-corrected.
On Goof Troop, when his son was, as we already established, was in a Goof Troop that they had to like go on, you know, adventures and stuff with.
Mm-hmm.
That he should have been an actor who's, you know, had to like juggle his life playing George Geef with.
By the way, that is that also is the name of Goofy's farts.
What's that?
Geefs.
Geefs, yes. And so we don't want to talk about that either.
No.
Yeah, so he has to juggle that. I'm using my hands up and down. He had to juggle that the two things, being a single dad and being an actor playing George Geef.
Trivia, what was Goofy's original name when he first appeared?
Mortimer Moose.
That is absolutely not correct. Because he was a dog. That's his last name. Okay. What was his first name?
His first name was Daedalus Dog.
It was not. It was Dippy Dog.
Oh.
His first name, yeah. He was originally called Dippy Dog.
Dippy was his nickname. Daedalus was his actual name.
Is that right?
That's true.
Back when he was on I, Claudius.
Disney Dog, that was his name.
Sure.
Back when he's yes.
And Pluto, when he first appeared, was a really mean dog.
Yeah.
And it was called Pluto because he was so satanic and mean. And he was harassing Mickey. Yeah. And then later on, Mickey broke his spirit, I suppose, and like he became his dog and he was very friendly.
And then the terrible thing was about 10 years ago, he was no longer a dog.
Who was?
Pluto.
I get it. Because see everybody? See what he was doing there? There you are. Why that was confusing.
He's now a cat.
Is is because, you know, in Stand By Me, they ask, like, you know, what is Goofy? Is he a dog? Is he, what is he?
Okay.
And it's like, he's a dog. He used to be Dippy Dog. Sure. He's a dog. There's no two ways about it. He's a dog.
Stand By Me. Is that the TV show with that, the Helen Hunt and, I can't remember the other guy's name now.
Mm-hmm.
Stand By Me, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. That was it. It wasn't the Stephen King movie that was popular that everyone enjoyed. No, you're absolutely correct.
The Body. That's how I think of that movie. I'm sorry.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because you really liked it. So which of the kids did you think had a good body?
That's what the story is called.
I know it's called that. Getting on your high horse.
I'm not Gordon.
How dare you?
I am not Gordon Jump, sir.
You are not Gordon Geef, sir.
I'm not Gordon Geef either.
Oh, man, that is a
George Geef's brother.
It would be interesting to see, like, in the Disney world, like, where are all these missing parents? What the heck? I mean, they clearly say that this mom passed away. That's good.
Do they say that every show?
Well, they say, no, they said
Does
like...
Does it open with like a Brady Bunch style song talking about how the mom died?
No, but in some episodes, she's up in heaven looking down on us. So that's what he talks about. And I got away with murder.
Somebody says this.
Yeah,
well?
And then Columbo shows up. And but it's one of Columbo's 99 cases where he just completely screws it up. So he gets away with it. Ho ho, Lieutenant. I'm not listening to your questions. I'm walking away. You got no jurisdiction in Disneyland. Oh, yeah. Got away with murder. Diplomatic immunity. Because Goofy is an ambassador in Disneyland,
that's right.
So he can commit murder as long as he goes back to Disney soil.
Sure.
He's fine.
Sure.
Ran over with his car in one of those ones where he's like Mr. Wheeler.
Yeah. Sorry. I was thinking that he was a drunk, so he had dipsomaniac immunity. That's fine.
You know.
That's fine.
It's fine. Reach for the stars.
I always do. Overreach. I think
sure.
is what you're saying.
Actually. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's fine. The other night... my wife, Lisa, said, she said, I love you. She said, I love you so much. I even love your socks. I don't know why she said that, but it's fine. It's nice to be loved. And I said, well, you should. They're really old socks. They're premarital socks. I laughed that hard at it, actually.
That's a very nice joke.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. You know what? You could send that to Reader's Digest and make $25.
I'm going to do that right now.
Please do.
I see a feature for myself.
Yeah. Here's how I would write that joke.
Okay. Write
you know,
it for me.
Hey, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
When I got married, my wife made me change my wardrobe.
Okay.
Let me tell you about it, but only one thing. I had to get rid of all of my socks. Know why? Because she doesn't believe in premarital socks.
There you go.
There you go. And then we all enjoy it, and we tip our hats.
Tip our hats.
You know?
We crumple it up and throw it in the garbage, and then we eat the gum that it came wrapped in.
Yeah, and then you get your $25 from Reader's Digest.
Reader's Digest, thank you.
Don't know why they put it in humor and uniform, but they did.
Typical. I always misunderstand.
Yeah. The... You know, here's the thing. Like, you've got all those people, of course, in the Disney world where you're Huey, Dewey, and Louie. You got Mickey's got a couple of nephews, nephew and nieces. So everyone's got these. And I used to wonder, like, where these actual parents went. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Dave, you know where it went?
Yeah.
Polio. got them all.
That's right. They didn't believe in vaccination.
They didn't believe in vaccination. Yeah. They were really strong anti-vaxxers. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's it. And then they got done.
Who was that speaking?
That was every cartoon character merged into one.
Okay.
This is every cartoon character merged into one cartoon character, David. I'm everyone.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Sounds something like that.
Want to hear the rest of my voice demo reel?
They're all this voice, David. It's the only one I can do.
That'd be good.
Hey, Mary Little Socks. That's my name, because I'm also a sock puppet. When I'm about to get married.
That's another good one.
Yeah.
Darn it all.
That's my catchphrase.
Darn it all.
There you go.
Yeah.
Love it.
Thanks.
Put,
yeah, it is going to be. It's going to be performed by John.
Write it down right now by Jonathan Winters.
No, it's going to say Lyle Lovett. It's going to do the voice.
Lyle Lovett.
Yeah,
because that exactly sounds like Lyle Lovett.
Yeah,
I felt like Lyle Lovett was in the room. He's going to start singing for me.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, clearly we're out of gas. You're right. You're not wrong. Dave's dealing with a wife who's got the flu. He's got to be
true.
Tender.
He's been
looking for a job.
I have.
This guy's been doing a lot of stuff, man.
I have.
You know? Oh, I had a little bit of nice news. The James Bond show, the Chilliwack Cultural Center wants to do it. So we're
right
going to do
on.
That in November. Yeah.
That's great.
So we're going to fancy pants it up. We're
finally, you can do it right.
Well, I got a lot of notes on it. Not a lot of notes. It was a
from
small
the people
amount.
Who are in the show with you.
Yeah,
yeah, nice.
And I went, "Shut up." No, but the cultural center had just a couple of little notes.
Yeah,
but one of them was crack me up, which was he went, "Oh, okay." Like, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. And mm-hmm. I'm like, "Oh, that's always a bad one."
Sure.
He went like, "I just thought you could have used Ivan Decker better in the show." I was like, "Okay, well, Ivan Decker wasn't in the show at all, so that's." That this is like a job interview situation, basically.
Wait a second.
So here's the thing, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm doing the job interview mm-hmm. situation, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because you listen to, this is what it is. I'm trying to sell this show.
Yeah.
So you don't want to say to the person when they go like something about the car, well, that's not right.
Yeah.
You know, so he's like, Ivan Decker, Ivan Decker wasn't in the show. And I was like, do you mean Patrick Maliha? Like, oh, yeah, that's what, I didn't use Patrick Maliha enough. Oh, okay, all right, I got it. So so I told Patrick Maliha that night. I was just like, okay, I got good news, bad news. One, you've got a huge fan at the Chilliwack Cultural Center. Yeah. Bad news, he's been pointing a lot of people to Ivan Decker's work. Ivan Decker's been getting a lot of work from people who, you know, tell him about all the great jokes this Ivan Decker guy does.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
Ivan Decker is a very good comedian. But,
well, that's what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to write back and say, is this Ivan Decker? Are you writing to me?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Ivan Decker.
Do you work at the Chilliwack, whatever the heck it's called?
We've had Ivan Decker on the show. Mm-hmm. Ivan Decker is fantastic.
Well, you know what? If you did a show there, I would come and see it.
At the Chilliwack Cultural Center?
It's faster for me to drive to Chilliwack than it is to drive to Vancouver.
Very good. Well, we're going to fancy pants it up, a little bit more video, a little more this, that. And the nice thing is also he's got great kind of theatrical stuff like different levels of the stage and giant cyclotrons and so we're gonna
So you're gonna have a twister take the house into the Wizard of Oz, into the Land of Oz.
Listen, knock off the spoilers, buddy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, people are gonna just come and enjoy the show when they enjoy the show.
Mm-hmm.
So there you are.
Sorry
yeah.
about that.
So yeah, that was kind of exciting. Very nice to hear that. Also, a little, and I don't want to say exactly what this is, but a little step forward on a book that I'm trying to sell to a publishing thing, kids. Thing doing with a friend, and it's quite a bit closer now to maybe happening, so knock great. On all those woods
great
so yeah things are nice with that.
So send positive prayers and energy to Lisa to get over her flu
right.
and to Ian for his book.
Yeah, everyone, let's just send it to everybody. Everybody's what?
Oh. Select be selective.
No, don't.
If it's too general, no one knows what the hell's going on.
I disagree. I'd say, like, let's throw positive vibes out all the way around.
Oh, sure.
I got into a little bit, speaking of positive vibes and me not putting out positive vibes,
mm-hmm.
I got into a little bit of a thing this week on my board.
Into an argument? A
little bit. A discussion.
Was it a discussion or an argument?
It was, let's say 170 or so thread discussion thing and whatever. Like it, yap and, now you, and, but what was going on was there's a company in town, not a company, but there's a school in town.
A school, yeah.
That is offering a course in stand-up, in sketch, and in improv.
All at the same time.
And it's, I got asked if I wanted to teach at it.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, I didn't even know this existed. So I looked it up, and the website looked a little, I don't know about this. This, well, I'm not sure. There's a bunch of kids doing speed push-ups and people yelling around them going, go, go, go. And when I think, you know, I mean, some of my favorite stand-ups are like, say, a Brent Butt.
Yeah.
And when I think Brent Butt, I don't think speed push-ups.
I don't think he
I don't think Louis C.K. I think no. speed push-ups. I don't think Graham Clark speed push-ups. You know, I don't think performers like.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm not sure. So I what I did was I wrote to the school as a potential student and went like, oh, what do I have to do and how much is it? And they wrote me back and said, you've got to have like at least, you know, some theater training at some other school, like, okay, or theirs.
Understandable.
And then, so you got to like show us your degree. And then the other thing is, it's going to be 6 months and it's going to be $12,000. And then
6 months?
Yeah.
$12,000.
$12,000. But it's a great, it's you get great teachers. I know they would have been me, one of them. But I was like, oh my God, that's more money than it was just crazy. Yeah. Though comparable to a school like in Toronto, in Ontario, Humber College teaches comedy, okay. And it's comparable. But
that's 3 years of university, basically.
Yeah.
University tuition.
Yeah. But at the end of this, you've been doing stand-up, sketch, and improv, and doing speed push-ups. By the way, the speed push-ups thing, what you do is every day there's a nutritionist and a fitness instructor to take you through an hour of what you eating, and let's do push-ups. So every day there's that. So you get that as well. But then, you know, you've got experts in their fields teaching you improv, sketch, and stand-up. Now, the thing, of course, that bothers me about that is stand-up traditionally, like
the thing that bothers you about it is you don't want to do push-ups.
No, I don't like that. I mean, when I did take theater, I had to do, you know, every second day a dance class.
Yeah.
So I was having like people like making me do flexible things that I did not want to do. I was having people lie on my back
and
curling down the spine.
Yeah.
There was one day where I had done so much of that that I measured myself and I was actually taller than 6 feet.
Hmm.
I'm 5'11". I was taller than 6 feet because I'd expanded that much and it was like, oh, that's good? I'm not sure.
Huh.
But, you know, it bothers me the price.
I didn't know you were a slinky.
Yeah. Okay. It just bothers me the price of improv workshops in town. You know, to me, like, I think if I started, you know, doing comedy, and I do all three of those things.
Yeah.
If I started doing comedy and I was told that I would have to pay the amount that just regular workshops cost in town, I would not be able to afford it. You know, but the idea of, like, someone telling you $12,000, I'm worried that that's going to, one, put people in debt that shouldn't be in debt, and two, discourage people from doing the things that I have like loved doing, you know, that you could actually do for free, frankly.
Well, fruitlessly put them into debt because I mean,
well, so I mean, other people say like, you know, but you can't the value and
well, it's, but I mean, unlike say studying to be a doctor, let's go to that extreme.
All right.
Where you go to medical school and you pay a lot of money. You pay a lot of money to go to medical school,
mm-hmm.
but you're doing on-the-job training that you really can't get anywhere else. You cannot go to a hospital and, you know, practice. You know, they don't have amateur night at hospitals for doctors
mm-hmm.
to show up and do a little, you know, little training, just, you know, figure it out, get my feet wet a little bit. I'm just going to come in. I got 5 minutes of, you know, like that doesn't work, you know, but when you were doing stand-up or improv, I would think that your practical experience is way more important than anything you could learn, you know, from especially stand-up. Improv, theater sports are improv. I can see a little bit where, you know, you're learning. I think it's more learning forgetting than it is learning tricks and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
doing theater sports.
How about with sketch? Do you think?
No, because sketch is something that you learn or you can do or you can't do. You know, like your ability to write is your ability to write. I mean, you could get better.
Yeah.
But I don't think that you need to. I mean, you can get better by doing it. You know, I would say, do you want to be a great sketch comedian, then start writing sketches and start performing them.
That's the thing. All three of these things to me, like, I mean, how I started.
But theater sports or improv.
Well, this is the thing that bugs me is like.
That I can see as having workshops because to me, it is a different way of thinking.
How it's so?
Because.
How is it different than. How are the notes that you'd be getting in improv different than the notes you'd be getting in sketch?
Well, you know, but you'd still be getting not funny or funny, but I just mean in terms of how you approach it. Like to me, theater sports is almost more about forgetting what you're doing than it is about doing something. Like, if you overthink...
Okay, Dave's mentioning this because I used to be in theater sports. I used to be in a company theater here sports are called the Vancouver Theater... The Vancouver
improv,
Theater... Okay, just because we have an international audience. Yeah. So the Vancouver Theater Sports League, I spent about 20 years, you know, performing with, and I took a lot of workshops with them along those times. But and then I was a professional with them for a long time.
But I think in theater sports, and I noticed you on the show, you're much better at than I am at it, is listening. Like, you aren't really... thinking ahead of what you're going to do, you're listening to what the other actors are doing, and you react to them very quickly. But you're not always thinking about what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, it's really instinctual. It's something different in sketch, where sketch, it's, you know, you're thinking it out all the time because you're writing the sketch. You're going back and you're working stuff through it. You understand what I mean?
You're tightening, yeah.
When you're doing theater sports, it's an immediate thing. So you cannot be outside of that moment. You have to be really into the moment. You know, and that's a problem that I had doing it when I was. You know, and I did it for a very short time. Maybe I could have got over it, but I just couldn't go backwards and where I thought I was as a person who's a comedian. Let's put that in quotes. But you know, that just that not being aware of yourself. You know, because I came out of a writing background. Like the reason I liked comedy is that I liked the writing element of it, and so I liked writing sketches. So I think sitting and working through those things.
When I was writing sketches with you, I remember you were talking about like how Monty Python wrote sketches, and they famously were very argumentative, and it was like, you know, John Cleese would throw ashtrays across the room, and it was like everyone would be fighting for their idea, and that always seemed incredibly unappealing to me. You know, whenever I hear about that kind of thing, it's just what are you doing that for? There's no need for that. And then but the improv, you had to work together, at least in theory. Didn't always happen. A lot of people don't,
sure,
you know, but okay,
I just wanted to say,
please do
say Monty Python. There was one person who was that emotional in their meetings. Most of them were very phlegmatic and British, you know, sat smoking their pipes with their legs outstretched, listening to everyone's sketches. The thing was that they were very dismissive of each other's material because each one wanted their stuff to be in the show. So it was, there was a competitive element to it. But I think that if you're writing in any kind of situation, it's a competitive situation. If you're writing in a sketch comedy troupe, you're one of many writers. Everyone wants their stuff to be in the show.
Here's the thing about that. When we did our Canadian content, because I, that was just the name of a sketch comedy troupe that I was in, that and found it. I set up a thing, which was, we're going to try everything and we're not going to say no to ideas. We're going to put them up on their feet and let's just see if we want to do them or not. So basically I tried to set up a kind of improv environment for sketch.
So I was going to say, so it was slightly different though, because it was it was improv sketch. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't someone working by themselves in a room and then bringing it to this thing.
That's right. We would hammer the sketches out and then, you know, trim them down. And if a sketch didn't work, it wasn't one guy going, no, I don't like it. What would happen would be, for the most part, we'd obviously see this wasn't working and we'd stop doing it because it's obviously, and usually the person who had brought it would go, yeah, this isn't working right now. Let me rejigger this later and we'll figure it out. And as that, it just was a more organic thing. And we got sketches, you know, we got some sketches that I look back on now and go, gah! But we also had sketches that we never would have made it through a table read ever in any way, shape, or form. No. And those were some of people's favorite sketches. And then we ended up, you know, I'm going to throw this brag out, that we won the Canadian Comedy Award for Best Sketch Group and beat out other sketch groups that you'd go, holy shit, them? And I'm like, yeah, I know, it's a weird year when I, ooh. But yeah, so we tried to do that. But none of the things that of those things, you know, the most expensive was improv, which still blows me away that improv costs so damn much. I still think that's ridiculous that improv costs so much, and I try to make sure in town, and there are some people that are doing this too, make sure it's affordable and that there are free options for people to go and do improv and get notes on improv that aren't paying, you know, $200 workshops over and over and over again. Because a lot of these people are, you know, they're working as waiters and waitresses and doing minimum wage jobs, and that's a shitload of money to a regular fucking person.
We were paying like $5 or something like that.
We were paying $2.
$2.
Well, this is the problem. Whenever I bring up, you know, how much we paid, it feels like, and chocolate bars were a nickel, and a movie was a penny, a shiny penny.
Yeah, but still, something that costs $2 then doesn't cost $200 now.
That's right, if you talk inflation. Whereas now, those same drop-in workshops we took are $15.
That's not bad.
But here's the thing. If you wanted to be compare, movies weren't $2. Maybe Tuesday movies were $2. Yeah. But movies weren't $2 when we were taking these workshops, mm-hmm. whereas a movie cost $15. Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's okay, but it's still, it's a sum. It's a fair sum.
It's a fair amount.
But $12,000. It's tough because like the people selling it will always have a pitch why it's worth mm-hmm. what it is.
Yeah.
You know, a car salesman will always tell you why the car is a beauty. But yeah, I got some really strong blowback on that from people. But then the nice thing, and it's a shame because two of them are like friends of mine, right? Yeah. And so Pia can tell you that my feelings were hurt for a while there. And I felt like maybe I'm being a dick here, but I don't want someone to get $12,000 in debt for things that I did that are like next to free. And I don't think this is right at all. But I feel like I'm shit talking a gig that I got. And now, you know, it's like, oh, I don't want to do it. Now I'm going to talk it down. So I'm going to blow it for everybody. But no, I don't want people spending $12,000 on this. But then I got contacted by a bunch of people who I respect, who said they couldn't say anything about these circumstances and agreed with me, and I felt much better about it in the long run.
Okay, because you took account of who agreed with you and who didn't, and people who agreed with you were more. They were like, in your faces, motherfuckers.
They were people whose opinion, who didn't have an investment in the thing or... You know, I didn't have a certain agenda, and I went, yeah, I think I was in the right on that. Hmm. I come down on, I feel that I did the right thing with that. Yeah. It got into a weird tangent about, like, you know, my background with theater sports, and, you know, and so things got a little personal in the end, too.
So having to justify yourself? And
a little bit, yeah. Well, this is what people do is, you know, if we're having a discussion about anything, so say we're going, like, what type of tacos do you like, Dave?
I don't like tacos. They suck.
Well, you don't have to get mad about it. You see, they will say, you're getting angry.
Yeah.
And now whatever you say back, you know, by the way, everyone have a drink. Take the sirens drink, went by. This is the second siren, by the way, of the show. Yeah. You can have two drinks. We didn't talk about this when we were talking about that controversial thing earlier.
Yeah.
Felt weird to interrupt it with a bit of a joke.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That felt a little dickish.
All those poor people who got syphilis. By the way, everyone, take a drink.
But if you're doing a debate online, that is a trick that you can do that's really easy, which is you just project emotion onto the other person.
Okay.
It's like, well, you know, if this is so upsetting with you, maybe we shouldn't have this conversation, or you're really getting angry, or you're getting too emotional. And then there's no response you can have that isn't, you know, it's like, I'm not emotional. Well, just saying, it sounded like
I'm not good. Like, once again, I'm bad at reading nuance like that.
Well, you don't have to read nuance. You have to read words.
Why are you feeling nauseous?
Read words, yeah.
Why are you feeling nauseous? Am I making you nervous?
And then they flip it and make it personal, try to find anything from your past, put it in there, and they're just like, oh, you're doing this kind of dickish internet arguing. Oh, this blah. I don't care for this, nothing. Anyway, bottom line though, folks, if you want to do sketch, improv, or stand-up, you can take workshops, and there's nothing wrong with taking a workshop. Mm-hmm. Know your limit, play within it. If you got some spare money and you want to spend it on that, that's great. But people will tell you a lot of times that you're going to meet a lot of contacts.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to meet a lot of contacts here. Really important people who are contacts. And maybe you will. But here's where you're going to meet contacts as well. Do the thing that you're doing. You will meet people doing those things. Some of those will continue to do those things professionally. Those people will become your contacts in the future. Because if you do stand-up and you do a lot of stand-up, you're going to get to know professional stand-ups.
Yeah.
And the same thing with any other field that you're in. You know, if you're doing a sketch, you're going to end up going probably to sketch festivals, and you're going to meet professionals as well. So don't worry about it. You don't have to pay, for the most part, to meet professionals. And any professionals that will make you pay to meet them, take that with a grain of salt that you will take it with. Okay. Right, Dave?
Oh, sure.
Am I right? Am I getting emotional, Dave?
I feel like you're a little...
I feel passionate about
why
this.
Why are you so angry?
I'm angry at people getting fucked over for $12,000. That pisses me off. I don't want anyone...
Should be going into my pocket.
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of this?
Well, a lot of people think about this.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true enough. I remember when I was a child. Everyone can take a drink. I was actually in high school.
Because Dave drank as a child.
I drank as a child.
Funny story. Dave drank really a lot until he turned 19 and then stopped.
I stopped dead. I took a class. It was a night course in cartooning. You know, how to cartoon or whatever. But, I mean, let's be honest. How much can you learn in a night class about cartooning? Not very much.
Well, you can learn as much as you want to learn if you... You know, it's so much as what you do in those kind of classes. Yeah.
And so much as what you bring to it already, like with the enthusiasm and stuff that you already have. I mean, my complaint about the class, if I was going to complain about a class like that, would be that, you know, what I took the class is all I got out of it. You know, like I didn't, there was no format that, you know, I get, it was at a time when people didn't care about that kind of, people didn't care.
They just didn't care.
I thought that my teacher was a punk rock enthusiast though, because she had a pin in her ear, a safety pin in her ear.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her. I didn't know very much about it. I was quite young, but I'd read about it in the weekend magazine that came with the newspaper. Mm-hmm. I'd read about punks in England. So I asked her, and she said, "Oh no, I just lost my earring, so I'm just trying to keep it from sealing." Oh, disappointing.
And then you cut to a baby with a diaper, and it's got an earring in one side of the diaper.
And let's stop it there,
everyone. You know what? Again, watch your money, everybody. That's all we're saying. You know, if you've got something,
watch it hard.
You know, nothing wrong. Again, nothing wrong with taking workshops. Education is important. Just, you know, do a lot of stuff on your own as well. You can do that for free. Invest with time, not money, if you can. We might teach workshops and stuff in the future. So you might call us hypocrites.
That's right. We're going to do a podcasting seminar for $12,000.
Well, we have actually recorded a video on how to do podcasting.
But that's free.
What?
It's not helping us.
Well, that's okay. That's fine.
Stupid idiots that we are.
We may teach a workshop in the future, though, at some point, and we'll figure stuff out and whatever. And if so, we'll try to charge reasonable amounts. Otherwise, we're jerks.
True enough.
So, David, is there anything you've got coming up that you want to tell people about?
I got a job.
Good. Do we want people to visit you on the job?
No.
Just come down and
it's okay.
Try to get t-shirts signed, that kind of stuff.
Yes, please come on by.
Okay. Here's kind of an adorable thing, by the way.
Yeah.
There's a woman who wrote me and was saying, I want to get some Sneaky Dragon t-shirts. Are you guys going to be at the next, you know, Vancouver Comics Arts Festival? And I said, oh yeah, we will be there. Oh, that's good. I just want to get some, you know, extra larges and some this and some that. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, we'll be there. You know, we also have, you know, and then she went like, I was the short woman, covered in tattoos. We met her there.
Okay.
So at that Comics Arts Festival, Dave, just to make clear who this was,
she
was the short woman covered in tattoos. You know who I'm talking about?
Sure do.
You know who I'm talking about at that Comics Arts Festival?
I know.
Yeah, that one.
That one
her. Woman.
Her.
Her. Yeah, that's right.
Stands
just like, you could not have more generic. Anyway, so I directed her to our website, and she went, I can't find nothing on here. And I'm like, no, it's there. Oh, I'm blind. And then she found it. So she'll probably be like ordering shirts.
That'd be nice. Because the problem
just
with
click on merch.
If you're going to come to Van, if you're planning to come to VanCalf and buy a shirt there, that's great. But let me know, and I will have it there for you, because I'm not planning on having a lot of shirts there this
year. Yeah, here's the way we do things. We cannot like predict the future and then print up a lot of shirts, because shirts is money to us.
Yes.
And as I think we're saying here, we don't make a lot of that.
Because we don't know how to put on $12,000 seminars.
Damn it, why don't we do that? Then we can just make all the damn shirts.
Yeah.
Ugh, damn it.
I'm going to Tony Robbins up this podcast.
So if you are coming to that and you want shirts, or you want, you know, buttons, or you want other such things.
I'm going to Tony Roberts up this podcast and be Woody Allen's sidekick in a couple of films.
Wow. Deep cut.
I love him.
But you hate Woody Allen. Never liked him.
Never liked him. Never liked him from grade 4 on.
Nope. So, let Dave know. But if you want to just have one mailed to you, and then Dave will throw some other stuff into it.
That'll happen.
That is at sneakydragon.com, and click on our merch link. We have a bunch of shirts there. If you see a title card Dave has done and you go, man, I'd like that to be a shirt, let Dave know at
SneakyDragon.com.
There you go. Or on our page itself. And maybe that can be made into a shirt.
You never know.
Maybe not.
You just don't know.
It never hurts to ask.
Sometimes it does.
Yeah, if the guy just punches you.
What's a
punch feel like, pal? It did hurt to ask.
That's right. I may visit your house with a blender. Or a mixer. Sorry, a hand mixer.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But the problem is, the only one I have is a hand cranked one, so it's not as effective as the.
No, you'll just make more bubbles in the tub.
Let me help you.
Yeah, Dave will either make shirts for you or will bubble up your tub. Those are the two skills Dave has.
It's the least I can do.
Dave has a hell of a resume. Yep. It has making shirts, bubbling up the tub,
making bubbles.
So what can you offer our company? Well,
listen to this.
Does your company have bath nights?
I'm your man.
Sure thing. We love to hear from you, and SneakyDragon.com is also where you can find our message board. We're on Facebook.
Just don't get the hand mixer too close to your body.
There you are. We're also on Twitter at @sneaky_dragon. I am Ian Boothby.
I'm David Detrick.
And thank you for spending some more time with our nonsense. We really do appreciate you listening to us, and we love hearing from you. All right, take care of yourselves. And good thoughts we're sending out to all of you.
Specifically, two particular thoughts.
Oh, don't think that second one. Hell episode is this one?
168.
That can't possibly be right.
Why not?
That's crazy. How could it be 168? I'm much too young for that.